I think this is normally our second service over at PAC. I'm grateful that I get to just preach one time today. I think this is week 8 of the Holy Spirit summer deep dive or summer dive. When I looked at the list of sermon topics about the Holy Spirit, I was actually asking Jesse, I was like, what is there left to preach on? I mean, you covered identity with Pastor Lisa and covered the gifts, covered speaking in tongues and healing. I was like, Jesus? Like, what is there to cover? But I was actually driving here. I was coming up Route 1 North. You know, for those coming from the south of Kendall Park, you peel off into the jug handle, make a right turn. Peel off to the right, cross over the road, which is like the worst intersection in Kendall Park, by the way, right? And I was at the light on the Burger King side. You guys just with me? You guys know what I'm talking about? And I'm going to stop right there on the first one. I caught the yellow. I was like, should have taken it. But I stopped because, you know, Sunday we're Christians, right? So we want to obey the rules, right? So I stopped at the yellow, and I was just watching and waiting because they actually changed the lights. It's just one side now, which is amazing. So praise God for miracles. Right, but I saw a car literally make a left turn from Route 1 straight onto, what road is this? Sand Hills. And I was like, yo, what are you doing, man? You're going to get yourself killed. You're going to kill other people straight up. I freaked out. I actually freaked out. And then my first reaction to after me freaking out was, he's so dumb. You know, like, what a fool. And here I am preaching about the Holy Spirit right before church thinking someone is a fool. Someone's a fool. And I caught myself, and obviously I repented, because that's what you're supposed to do. But there's a lot of reasons why we need the Holy Spirit. Like numerous, empowerment, we talk about that, for ministry, for service, right? We have all these different reasons why, identity and purpose, all of these things, why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our daily living, our daily practices, traffic, like silly things, big things, hard decisions, all those things. But this morning, I want to actually turn your attention to one of the primary reasons why we need the Holy Spirit is as simple as to see spiritual reality, to be able to see spiritual truths. And I'll refer to a short passage, but a profound passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 later. I think it's somewhere in your notes. Guys, it's a lot of work to put together this, by the way. I color coordinate my notes, by the way, but I didn't have to color coordinate it in a way that I make sure I give you guys the notes. And hopefully, if I miss one, just ask one. Feel free to raise your hand or whatever, because I will most likely forget what I'm doing up here. People ask, like, what's it like? Well, I get nervous before and I black out when I preach. And so I'm going to try my best not to black out this morning. But the reality is, I want you to see spiritual reality. And what is spiritual reality? What's another word for that, or another phrase for that? It's the kingdom of God. We talk about this. This is kind of the passage for Kairos. Right, the kingdom of God is here. Now is the Kairos moment. So if that's the case, if it's the kingdom of God, and we just sang it. We literally just sang it. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth, right here, right now, as it is in heaven. So if we are not experiencing the kingdom of God, then are you truly living in the Spirit? Because we're talking about daily life living, but if you're not seeing the kingdom of God, if you're fully unaware of the spiritual reality of the kingdom of God, are we truly living in the Spirit? But I want to, before I start, because I'm going to talk about this concept of baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I think it's one of the most important concepts in Scripture. And a lot of people actually misunderstand it, and there's many sides of it. But I'm just going to unpack some Scripture as to why I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is fundamental to our identity and our living in our daily life with Jesus. Right? But before I jump into that kind of topic, the first and foremost basic truth that you need to understand is without the Holy Spirit, you and I cannot come to faith. Let me just put it straight up. There is nothing that you and I do that can earn your salvation in any form, in any fashion. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to you and then also guides you into that truth. So there's, I think we do have it in notes. This is the famous conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, and he says this, if you haven't read it, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." There's a flesh life, our physical life, maybe the most simple to realize spiritual reality, and then you must be born. Remember this is the phrase, to be born again. If you and I are born again, then you're actually not being born of the flesh because we've already been born. He says this to Nicodemus. You should know this. And he says, but you must be born in the Spirit. You cannot come to faith without the Spirit of God. John chapter 14, you know him. This is Jesus speaking. For he dwells with you and will be in you. So the moment you do come to faith, there is an actual existence and dwelling, a residence that the Spirit of God takes place in your life. I think that is also why sometimes we feel convicted of sin. We make a mistake. You're sitting at an intersection and you realize you shouldn't be thinking like that. The Spirit of God is provoking you and challenging you and convicting you of your sin. But he's also allowing you and permitting you to see more of who God is fully. Lastly, in him you also, in Ephesians chapter 1, I think you guys have it with you here. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which I believe Jesse mentioned maybe the first or second week of the series. Right, Luke chapter 24 ends with Jesus revealing himself again to the disciples after the road to Emmaus conversation, the story. Right, and he says, to wait upon the promise, which happens again in Acts chapter 1, continuation. Luke and Acts were written kind of in tandem. The promise of God is the Holy Spirit. So if you consider yourself a faithful Christian, then you have to ask yourself, what is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? How is he moving in your life? And I'm not here to talk about the gifts or even the fruit of the Spirit, because we talked about that. But let me jump into this conversation about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because there are two types of baptism. Water baptism, or baptism by water, which is what Jesus actually did himself to fulfill all righteousness, says in the Gospel of Matthew. And then there's this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And baptism is actually just, there is no like spiritual pithy definition for it. It literally just means to be plunged, to be immersed. So it's like the physical action of baptism is just going under the water. Obviously you're going and you're dying to self in the water and then being raised to new life as a symbol of the death and resurrection of Christ. But what about our understanding, the understanding for us of the baptism of the Spirit? Because Jesus says, John answered them all saying, this is John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3 verse 16, this might not be here, actually it's not in here, but let me read it for you because it's noted. John the Baptist answered them, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, this is about Jesus, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Interesting. Acts chapter 4 again. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart. Acts chapter 1, this is Jesus. But to wait for the promise of the Spirit, for which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Right? So there is a concept, this understanding of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I think one of the most important chapters in Scripture is actually about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, 15, 16. And then John 17 is the high priestly prayer of Christ. But if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit and what he is doing in our lives and the importance of the Holy Spirit, you have to read John 14, 15, and 16. You have to understand that the Holy Spirit is the most important being to us right now. Right now. Jesus says, it is to your advantage that I go away. I think you guys heard this the summer. It is better for Jesus not to be here. I'm like, I think, Jesus, if you were here and we saw all the miracles being played out by you, you have more followers, right? He knows that. But he says, no, it is better for me to go away because you must receive the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit of God is more important to be here, right now, than for Jesus to be here. And I'm not sure how serious we take that. I'm not sure. So, how and when do we experience then this Holy Spirit baptism? How many people have been baptized by water? Immersed, whether you were a kid and maybe you were sprinkled, right? Just be bold. Come on. I got baptism, right? If I ask the same question, don't raise your hands. But if I asked you the question, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit, what would you say? Don't raise your hand. Would it be yes, overwhelmingly? Like, were you absolutely sure, yes, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because there's actually two passages in the book of Acts that talks about how the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens. Right? We talked about the Holy Spirit being the one who leads you into salvation, into your, you know, born-againness, I guess you can say. Right? Rebirth. But the Spirit baptism is different. Acts chapter 8, I'm going to read this. It's not in Scripture, but this is for you. Acts chapter 8, this is about the story in Samaria. Philip, he's the one who baptized with water, and then the apostles heard, and then they went. So here it is. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were believers, but Peter and John had to go to them in order for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So in this narrative, we're seeing that believers existed, and then there was a moment, an experience that was subsequent after conversion where the Holy Spirit fell upon these individuals. Acts chapter 10, a different situation. While Peter was still saying these things, this is about the whole like Cornelius conversation, right? That whole thing. These things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have already received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked him to remain for some days. Right? So water baptism actually happens after the Spirit of God falls upon them. Usually when I give any conversation about the Holy Spirit, I always like to quote some of the titans of the modern faith. Right, like A.W. Tozer, D.M. Moody, these names, and John Wesley, right, the Methodist Church. And they talk about this profound experience, this deep, like, welling up and overflowing feeling that it's experiential. It is not necessarily intellectual. I'm not here to share those because I believe we don't need to hear, like, titans of the faith. I believe we can also experience for ourselves. And here's an example. Just talking about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, my mom, she's now, I don't know, close to 70, and maybe about 10 years ago, my parents were at a prayer revival up in the Boston area, and it was a small Korean church, right? Probably 50 to 100 people, and they were all praying. And my mom, her English is quite broken, right? Her very broken English. Her Korean, obviously, is fluent. And she has the gift of interpretation of tongues. And so many of you who might speak in tongues, it's great to have someone who speaks, who can interpret tongues. And so they're kind of praying for people. You know, people are falling out, right? And their people are crying out to Jesus. But that church particularly, they actually do ministry to Cambodian refugees. Right, Boston, the Boston area has actually a large population of refugees, and Cambodians in particular. All right, so a few of the Cambodians were there, and they were receiving prayer, and my mom went to pray for somebody, and she starts praying over them. And she's listening, and she's hearing what this person is praying for, and kind of repeating in Korean so that the pastor who can speak Cambodian is kind of interpreting what she's saying. She's speaking Korean, and he's repeating in Cambodian so they can understand, right? So she's speaking, what she's doing is she's actually listening to this person pray and repeating verbatim to him. And he stops, and he goes, wait. How do you know what this person is praying? They're praying in Cambodian. And so obviously the faith level rises because you start to see the Holy Spirit working and ministering. My mom had no connection to this individual, but they're speaking in their native language, just praying to God. And she's hearing it, and she's translating for the pastor to minister. Imagine what that person felt in that moment. Wow, how does this person know what I'm saying? Well, God knows. Here's another example. My father was in Cape Town, South Africa, at the airport, and he walks in. He's kind of more of a bold man, and he walks in, and he just asks himself that particular day. He says, "Lord, help me just be mindful of you, and if there's a conversation that needs to happen, allow that to happen." So he sits down, and he's at the gate, and so he's just kind of going around his business, you know, listening to his, I don't know what he was listening to, but he likes, like, you know, just secular 60s, 70s music. All right, so I think he was telling me he was just listening to whatever, and then a woman sits next to him, and clearly her son is kind of playing with something in front of her. And he just felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit because he does have the gift of word of knowledge. And the Holy Spirit just said to him, "You should talk to her." And so he's, you know, his English is a lot better than my mom, and they kind of started having a conversation. And out of nowhere, after they were talking for a few minutes, he says to her, "You know, God loves you, and God has a plan for you." And she's like, "What's going on?" Right? Obviously, if you were, you know, some guy, you know, comes and talks to you, you're gonna probably freak out. You know, like changing conversations is a little awkward, a little quick, right? And she goes, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "Well, I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you that I know that you're running away from the kid's father." And so she starts weeping on the spot. On the spot. She goes, "How did you know that?" And his response was pastoral, and he says, "Because the Holy Spirit loves you. And he wants you to know that he has plans for you." And it was true. She was going back to her mom's place, flying back or flying away from that, you know, relationship she was in. And so my dad said to her, "Why don't you go back and try to reconcile?" I don't know what happened. And I'm not saying tears are everything, by the way. I'm not saying that either. But I do understand when God speaks to you in such a way that only you do understand. And you're just like blown away by the tenderness and the gentleness of God, even though it might freak you out. This is why we must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when you are baptized in the Spirit of God, you understand kingdom reality. There's two words actually in the Greek. It talks about kind of like the status of the experience, like the type of experience, the importance of the experience. There's two words in Greek that's used throughout the New Testament, and it's these two words, pleroo and pimplemi. All right, pleroo, it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. It is qualitative in nature. Is that in my notes? Yes. Luke chapter 4, it's right there. And Jesus, full of the Spirit, right after he was baptized, when the dove descended, right, as the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus, he was led into the wilderness. And it says, and Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned. Oh, that's not it. Hold on. Looks like it. Yes, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. was led into the wilderness. Right, John 16, it says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you and lead you all places, actually. But Jesus, full of the Spirit, pleroo, this qualitative status of being full, he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted. Here's another example of Stephen. And what they had, and what they said pleased the whole gathering. In Acts chapter 6, there it is. And they chose Stephen, a man full, pleroo, of faith and of the Holy Spirit. If you read about Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, it's the same idea, being full of the Holy Spirit. So being full of the Holy Spirit is actually noticeable. It's qualitative. Status. It's about, are you actually being led by God, and are you full? In contrast, there's this idea, there's another verb that's used, pimplemi, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is quantitative in nature. And when we're talking about the gifts, the miracles that happen, you actually must be filled quantitatively by the Holy Spirit in order to perform miracles, actually. Oftentimes, what we try to do is we do things out of our own human nature, but we have to sit and we just ask for the filling, pimplemi, of the Holy Spirit. Here's some examples. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, this is as the Pentecost is happening, and they were all filled, pimplemi, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Acts chapter 4, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled, pimplemi, with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. You see, anytime there is this filling in Scripture, there's always some sort of spiritual thing happening. Here they're speaking in tongues. Here there's also just speaking of the word of God in boldness. Right? Peter, who was extremely, what's a nice way to talk about Peter? He was a young guy. He was young. Right? He was filled in that moment, especially in Acts chapter 2, and he started speaking very boldly about Christ. Someone who betrayed Jesus, he started speaking very boldly. You know that the Holy Spirit actually moved in people's lives in the Old Testament, by the way? King Saul, before he was made the king of Israel, it actually said there was a prophecy over his life, and I'll read it for you, you don't have to look it up. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them, the prophets, and be turned into another man. When you are filled quantitatively by the Spirit of God, you will be different. You will be fundamentally different. And so it says a few verses later that the Spirit of God literally rushed upon Saul, and he started to prophesy along with prophets. This is before he became king. So, why do I share all of this? And the whole point of today is obviously to see kingdom reality. But you have to realize that we must be both full, pleroo, of the Holy Spirit, and we also must be consistently, constantly filled, pimplemi, with the Holy Spirit. When someone sees you, it must be kind of obvious by your gifts, by the fruit, that you are full of the Spirit. But if you're going to be a witness to Jesus Christ, you absolutely have to display what they call in Scripture dunamis. It's the ability to do miracles, miraculous things. We talked about this, I think, first or second week, actually, in July. Miracles are normative in the kingdom of God. When we just sang about miracles taking place, I have to ask you, do you really believe this? Do you really believe that when you walk into a space and it's full of the Holy Spirit and people are filled with the Spirit of God, do you believe miracles are going to happen? Not everyone responded, and that's fine, because I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to ask you to seek. Do you really believe that when we pray and we lay hands on the sick that they get healed? And I'm going to share a couple stories about this in a second. The miracle, this is the norm. When you and I, when we see spiritual reality, we actually, all you will see is God displaying his power, his might. All the time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll read it. It says, but we impart, this is Paul speaking, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. All the smart people, all the kings, all the monarchs or whatever of that time, the leaders of that time, they could not see this. And what is he talking about? He's talking about spiritual reality. He's talking about the kingdom of God. They could not see this. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they did, they would never crucify the Lord of glory. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. And he said, and then Paul says this, and this is what I want to make you understand. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. If you do not have spiritual eyes and you don't have a spiritual life, you cannot literally see God, because he tells us right here, God is spirit. This is why we must be baptized, full of the Spirit, and be filled with the Spirit. Because for you to see God, you need the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. When you see God, you will see his kingdom. The number one sermon topic for Jesus while he preached on earth was what? Don't say sin. That's not it. Number one sermon topic, the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1. Presented himself alive after resurrection, after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking about the kingdom. Almost many of the parables, it says, the kingdom of God is like. You and I, we must see the kingdom of God here now. That is why the Holy Spirit is better. That's why he's needed, excuse me. That's why it's better that Jesus is not here. Because the Spirit of God is not bound by the material, physical world. He can do it as he wishes. Another proclamation of the kingdom leads to this. Matthew chapter 10, I think it's here in the notes. I'm flying through this so that we can pray, actually. And proclaim, this is Jesus talking to his 12, sorry, maybe 70, I don't remember, 72. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven, God, is at hand. This is what should happen. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Friends, if you were a disciple of Jesus back then, this is your marching orders. Go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Yo, can you just imagine for this? If this is what God wants us to do today, before you go and see healing occur, this is what you do. You proclaim that the kingdom of God is here, right now. This is the reality, right here. This is kind of Mark 1:15, 1:15 all over again. That's what you declare. That's what you believe. This is what you see. This is why miracles are normative in the kingdom of God. This is why. Because they are intricately tied. Wholeness, healing, all those things, that's part of it. I think John 20 here talks about now, and why is this important? Now Jesus did many signs in the presence of disciples which are not written, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Everything that Spirit says is from the Father, John chapter 16, and he will only speak and reveal what Jesus tells him to reveal. That's it. This is beautiful relationship. This is what we call the Trinity, right? But it's this beautiful relationship. So I was sharing this with
we started a course called Pathways at PAC, and you know, I was asked to come and speak about baptism of the Holy Spirit because we believe this is one of the most important aspects of being a Christ follower, right? Is actually being filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so no different from kind of our experience here, maybe some of us has experienced amazing work of the Spirit. But just like we're going to do in just a few minutes. So I shared those stories. And they were broken up in pods. There's about 33 people, I think, were sitting there. And I already felt, and I'm not one of those people who, you know, I am more logical than a feeler, whatever you want to call it, you know, using the MBTI stuff, Myers-Briggs stuff. But I already, I just knew the Holy Spirit was there. He was in what we call the great room. And I was sharing some of these stories that you just heard. And there's just a couple of people who just started to, in the moment, just starting to weep. Just by hearing another person's story of how God saw them just right where they were. And so I just said, all right, let me just stop right now. It was a two-hour teaching. Imagine this times, I don't even know how fast that was. It was pretty quick. But imagine 2 hours of just talking about the Holy Spirit. And right around the hour 15 mark, this is when it started happening. And then I just knew that the Spirit of God was there to do some work. He had business to tend to, right, with his people. And a lot of our people, including yourselves, we need to be made whole again, right? Maybe you're just hurting. Maybe your mental anguish, mental stress, mental whatever it is, physical. Right, but we're going to pray for all those things, just trusting, because you know what? Like we said, the Holy Spirit works miracles, and that's normal. But the reason why I share about this was I don't have the gift of healing. If I did a spiritual gifts assessment, that would not be in the top, I don't know, whatever, top 15 even, top 10, top 5, it wouldn't be. My highest, strongest gift is gift of faith, actually. Right? It's not hospitality. It's not any of the things that you think would be amazing. Right? I think we talked about, I heard one of the messages, like, I'm not a miracle worker, you know? Many of you guys have been gifted with those things. Or you are gifted and you don't know it because you haven't practiced. And that's fine because we're going to practice today. But, so I said the same thing. I don't have the gift of healing. My friends do, and I know many of you guys do. Obviously, we know that, you know, Paul tells us, hey, seek prophecy so that you can encourage and build up, right, the body of Christ. We heard about that as well, which I think we should all be seeking, actually. To build up the church. But we took a gamble, maybe a risk, and we said, Lord, just do what you're going to do. And we stopped the teaching, and we just started to pray. And I said, just pray at your tables. All right. And we all stood up, and we started praying. There was no music. There was no spiritual, like, underscore, right? Which I love. Don't get me wrong. I love it, right? But we just started praying. And then we just had a special altar call for people who are really physically hurt, right? And it was four of us gathered and nothing special, really. Like I said, I don't have the gift of healing. Still don't, just to let you know. But we were praying, and one of our friends comes up and she says, does anyone have just pain in their right shoulder, right elbow at this area? Just, again, just taking a risk. Right, and it was quiet for 30 seconds. And then right around the minute time, there's this guy, Brendan, who raises his hand, and he goes, yeah. So he walks in, and you know, she's sharing, yeah, it's been hurting for months. So, all right, let's pray. So we prayed, and we just laid hands, right, anointed with oil, and we just laid hands, and we prayed. Right, I didn't pray, because I don't have the gift of healing, but I was praying in faith, right? Not to say if you don't have the gift of healing, you will see miracles, by the way, of healing. Regardless, and I'm about to share one with you. Nothing. After 5 minutes of prayer, nothing. Still, he's like, that's still there. So we prayed again. Why? Because in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus prayed over somebody, and they couldn't see straight. They're blind, and then it was a little blurry, and then he prayed again. So we just prayed again, right? Nothing. Some of you here are like, see? Doesn't work. The reason why, I was like that. I used to see God, doesn't work. It's like, what is it called? what do they call it? When you take a drug and it has no effect, but it actually does heal you.
Placebo.
Yes, it's like a placebo effect, right? So I don't pray that way anymore. I repented of that many years ago. Funny thing is, 3 days later, we get a message from Brendan. And he says, what's been hurting for months is now gone. They did a follow-up 1 week later after that. And left and right, headaches that were like migraines were just gone. And then this is where it got crazier. For some reason, just one or two miracles started being activated by God. It raised the level of faith in every single person. And it was literally story after story. All right, and I wasn't there to hear it. All these messages were relayed back to me. But story after story, talking about people going up to colleagues at work and praying, getting healed on the spot. And I'm just like, whoa, okay. We just took a small risk among a group of Christians, right? And then healing was occurring, right? Peter was filled with the Spirit of God. And he started to speak boldly about Jesus. The apostles, Acts chapter 4, they were told not to speak. Don't talk about, that's what the leaders said. Don't talk about Jesus. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They start to speak boldly. And maybe that's what you need right now. Because we are filled to be a witness to Jesus. That is why. That is why. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Because you guys don't even understand. When you see miracles, you will, let me just read again. So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then that you may have life in his name. That is why signs and wonders happen. So Pastor Lisa, where's she at? We're just going to take some risks. We're going to just pray. And do we have oil? I might have some in my bag. Maybe. I'll look. But so just for now, just as we, before we just like jump in to pray for one another, like I said, I don't bring anything special to this church, to anything. I'm just literally just reading. Most of my sermon was reading scripture, right? I kind of copped out today, you know, but I want you to know that the Spirit of God is here. First of all, the Spirit of God is dwelling within you. I think he's going to reveal some things to you, but just for a posture of receiving, I'm just going to ask that you open your hands. Feel free to keep your eyes open too. This is not a, you know, I'm not going to even do the whole emotional thing, you know, like, just keep your eyes open if you want. You can keep your hands, eyes closed if you want. That's better for you, for privacy and for focus. But Holy Spirit, just come. Holy Spirit, come. God, reveal all of who you are. Lord, we need you. We need to be filled by you. So Jesus, as you breathe that breath into your disciples, Lord, just breathe the Holy Spirit into some of us right now. Maybe for some of us, they have never experienced the baptism of the Spirit, God, right now, even in this quiet space. God, will you just anoint people right now? Will you touch them? Will you fill them? Will you rush upon them? Will you fall upon them? All these words from Scripture that describe that moment. God, we know that you're here. We know that you're already moving. God, we are expecting miracles because that's what happens in your kingdom. So everyone, if you just open your eyes, just take some risks. Anyone have pain in their body or something that's just not functioning right? We just want to pray for you. Yeah? Why don't you come up to the front over here? Anyone think they have a gift of healing? Or you want to try to exercise it? Be bold. Come on. Come on, Angela. Come on up. Come up to the front. Just go go sit. Why don't you go right over there? Yeah. You want to pray, or are you going to receive prayer? Receive. Come over here. Anyone think they have a gift of prophecy? Even don't be shy. This is, remember, the Spirit of God brings boldness. Esther, why don't you come up here? Come here. We're going to pray for some people. Anyone want to take a risk? See what God's going to do in people's lives? By the way, if a miracle doesn't happen, that does not mean the kingdom of God is not present. So don't be afraid. All right, do not fear is one of the most frequently used terms in Scripture, right? Bosco, you're going to pray for somebody, right? Tony, let's come pray for people, all right? If you feel like the Lord is leading you to pray and just lay hands on people, we're going to pray, and you are the one whose God might be moving right now to pray for somebody. And so I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Lisa as she leads us, because I know she is extremely prophetic, all right? And as the leader here right now, I'm going to turn it over to Lisa just to start to pray. Whatever, you guys are in order, and for sure, get in here. Right? And yeah, whatever you feel like leading, feel free to lead. I'm going to see if I have oil. If we don't, that's fine. But go ahead, I'm going to turn it over to you, Lisa.